Happy Friday night, everybody. It is 11:07 on this Friday night. John Hansen here until 1 in the morning. It is going to be a glorious show, and we hope you join us in the conversation. 312-981-7200. I'm not even going to prompt you. Call. Talk about whatever you want. Text on in, too. We got a lot of things to get through today. We're going to have some fun. A big Blackhawks win. That was awesome, and I hustled my butt on over here after the Blackhawks game. Thanks to everyone for driving so slowly on Lake Street, I got to say. They were watching out for all the pedestrians, every stop sign we came to, everyone. Boy, they came to a complete stop. The moment you really want people to drive unsafe and just blow through those things, everyone was so careful down every single stop sign on Lake. I got on a good time, Mike. I was like out the door at 10:15. I was filling in for Gene Honda on the Big Horn tonight. Got the overtime winner. Roger, you said I was rushing through those three stars of the game.
You talk fast. You normally talk fast. But that was so fast and fluid. It was like you did. Forget the applause.
Number one star of the game on the Blackhawks. The game-winning goal, Jonathan Toews. Bye. That's what I should have done.
No. Exactly.
No, it was a great game, and boy, a big win for the Hawks too.
We needed that.
Well, they got their home stand. They got seven games on it, and you know, you lose in Prague. Okay, you lose on the road to the Flyers by a goal. Then you come home. Well, you lose to the Sharks by a goal. You're thinking 0-2. Then you lose in overtime. So 3-1 goal losses, and here we go. A two game winning streak, feeling good, and then they're back at it on Sunday, and I'll be back at the duties doing the things. What am I calling? Oh, an MC, stadium host.
That's right.
That's what I do. I'll be on the scoreboard on Sunday.
I hear there was a celebrity.
A couple of them.
More than one?
Yeah, so,
I only know the one. I was in and out of doing news and stuff here, but...
By the way, I'm John Hansen. I don't know if I said that.
Hi.
I think I said that.
I think you did, but
you
that's
okay. You
can catch
me at CW26 weekday mornings, 6 to 8 a.m. on the Jam. That's the only reason they let me do that is if I say that at the top. And then I work at the Blackhawks, too. I was on the horn tonight. So it was so cool because Billie Jean King...
Yes.
Was there. And she's awesome, of course. Legendary tennis player. I don't remember the name of the guy she beat, but in that Battle of the Sexes way back when.
Oh,
if you happen to remember,
I
that was like
they
big,
made a movie out of it. I should remember. I was there. I was watching it.
Right.
Originally.
She's a queen. They had a ton of Olympians there as well in one of the boxes. But Billie Jean King comes out for the Shoot the Puck contest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, announcing and doing it. And Billie Jean on the very first puck. So you get three chances on the West End, and there's three holes in the goal. And she, the first one, she doesn't do very well. She just, you know, it's not a tennis racket, Billie Jean.
Right.
You really got to give it some push. There's ice. So she barely even makes it to the blue line from center ice. And I'm thinking, okay. But, I mean, it's Billie Jean King. Whatever. Yeah. She can do whatever she wants. She can shoot it backwards. Who cares? Second one gets the distance, I believe, and just a little bit left. Okay. All right. Here we go. And the third one. You ever seen Uncle Buck? Everyone's
seen
Uncle Buck.
Yes.
It was like Uncle Buck with that puck going a mile an hour as it approached that the goal.
Yeah.
And I thought we were going to get that moment where in Uncle Buck, the ball rolls right up to the pin and stops.
And just tap.
Yeah. Yeah. And when the little girl's bowling.
Yeah.
And I think John Candy says something like, well, if the name of the sport was trying to get it as close as you can without knocking him over, you'd be the world champion.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to happen. But for whatever reason, it was just a smooth enough ice to get that glowing puck into the net. I mean, not even into the net, barely. I mean, it crossed the line.
Right.
I don't know if they would have gone by NHL rules if it would have had to cross the line entirely.
Did it get it? Was it 100%?
It crossed 100% across that line.
All right.
And then she shot at the other end. She came actually pretty close, but she didn't make it in the other end. That doesn't matter. The crowd went crazy.
Oh, of course, I'm sure.
Also, Cameras Johnson from the new CW series, Batwoman, was there too.
Oh, really?
Which you can catch on my station. Sunday nights at 7. Yeah, he went third. He gave it his best shot. He had never picked up a hockey stick in his life. We had him on the show this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to prep him for it. He practiced a little bit before, in the tunnel below. Missed left or right. But he got it down there. I mean, that's the thing. I said, just don't short it all three times. A lot of people short it the first time because they're trying to judge what you're doing.
Well, yeah, they want to, because you want to get it in one of the holes to at least when the kids are doing it or just a fan's doing it, you win some prizes, don't you?
Right.
Yeah, so they want to make sure they carefully guide it down the middle or at least near one of, there's what, three holes on the?
Yeah, there's three, yeah.
On the cover?
On the first one, yeah, exactly.
Okay, and so you want to make sure you at least qualify.
Yeah.
You don't want to go out there three times and you know, back to the seats.
Well,
everyone laughs at you.
It's not easy, Roger.
No, I wouldn't imagine there was.
In fact, we had a kid do it really well in the preseason, and then for the first couple games, no one made any of them on either goal. So I was worried. And then the last game on, when was that? What day is this? Friday? Monday night.
Yeah.
All three contestants made it on the first one.
Wow,
so.
Great.
Anyways, we got a text from the text line, Billy G. King beat Bobby Riggs.
Bobby Riggs, yeah.
Right.
Who bragged and bragged and bragged and that he could beat any woman. And had, I think it was on ABC Sports, and they broadcast it live.
Well, the texter also added he was 50 and she was in her prime, and she also got to use the double lanes. And he, who cares?
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
Billie Jean King won. It was awesome.
Play,
yeah,
he could still play tennis, but he was way past his prime.
We don't have to diminish it. Like, just why?
Yeah.
It's cool. Go, Billie Jean King. She's awesome.
We've got to give props to WGN's own Nick DiGilio.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago, I think?
Did the shoot the puck?
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah, I bet. Nick's awesome.
Nailed it.
Roger Badish in the newsroom today, feeling good, a little bit better.
Oh, much better.
On some sort of medication. We don't know what's going to happen. Last week, it was just a bunch of random pauses during the news. This time, it's going to get psychedelic as the evening goes on.
Well, we could get a light show in here.
Just don't, have a drink on your drive home. We'll talk more about that later on. Mr. Heidemann, how you doing?
Hey, John, I'm doing great.
Good.
Good to see you.
That's all you got?
It's been an awesome week.
Way to fill that time, Mike. Appreciate
that. I'm also feeling very well, and I'm glad to be here with you and Roger. I'm looking forward to a night of just fun and great radio.
You know, it's Friday night. Let's have some fun. That's what I always say. Although that Eddie Johnson story is interesting, to say the least. Obviously, we heard first, it was yesterday when we first heard that he had been found early Thursday morning, I believe.
Thursday,
Roger. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Slumped over in the car, and then he was launching an internal investigation, which I immediately was like, okay. And he kind of blamed it on some medication. But I appreciated the transparency. You know, let's look into this. And look, Superintendent Johnson is a friend of the show. I mean, he's been on with Cochran many, many times. Always available on the Jam Tube. Come on. This is my non-journalistic hat. This is my host personality hat. I like him. I respect him. I think he's done a good job. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know, you know, where the investigation will go, where it goes. And then that's the latest that we know, right? We know that he, Mayor Lightfoot said he had a couple of drinks for dinner.
Yeah, had a couple of drinks with dinner.
Okay.
And that in his words, or she claimed that he told her that he wasn't feeling good while he was driving. He decided to pull off the side of the road. And that's where he was found asleep in the car on the driver's side. He also, you know, he's had a lot of medical issues.
Yeah.
And he's on special medication. And I know my dad, when he got older, was on several different medications for his heart and his knees and the blood pressure and a whole bunch of other stuff. And every so often, that medication stops working properly.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go back in. They have to try other stuff. And when you switch over to a new medication, sometimes your body
reacts
a certain way. And you sometimes pay the price. And it comes on unexpectedly.
Yeah,
it's not like, I'm not feeling well, maybe I'll drive to the doctor. It's like you're walking and suddenly you could be down on the ground because of the way the drug affects you. Yeah. So you've got a couple of situations here. The fact that he and the mayor have been upfront about it, I think, is extremely appropriate.
Proper. I mean, Mayor Lightfoot ran on transparency, and so far she's held to that. So is the city council, of course, with trying to release the Laquan McDonald IG investigation, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Having said that, and I'm happy to do it, and we'll wait to see what the investigation reveals.
Sure.
Having said that, there's a lot of people out there that have had a drink or two, fallen asleep, maybe they were on medication too, and they don't get the benefit of the doubt. So there may be some favoritism. Obviously, the police are policing their superintendent, and how could you not? I mean, imagine seeing your boss there. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that he was drunk. I don't know. We don't know. But someone out there could argue that favoritism may have been playing a role in that. We don't know. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, we don't. But again, I could see that happening if he had been pulled over.
Yeah, true.
But he was already stopped on the side of the road. The car
But who found him?
Yeah, well, the police officers, I believe. Yeah, and the officers.
So that's
found
what I'm
them.
Saying. If a police officer sees me asleep at the car, I'm walking. They're going to have me walk back and forth, and they're going to take my BAC, or they're at least going to ask for it. So we don't know. Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they did that. All I'm saying is I'm happy to give them the benefit of the doubt, and let's see what the investigation happens. I just know a lot of people out there would say, I don't know. I don't know if I would have gotten that. Anyways, we got a packed show. We're going to be talking with Mike Wall from space.com later. We're doing What's Up with Space. We'll find out what we learned today at 12:30. And I want to play a new game called The Best, The Worst, The Craziest, and The Dumbest. The stories of the past week all wrapped up nicely for you with a little package and a nice bow. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Happy Friday night, everybody. Boy, I hope you're happy finding yourself in a good mood on this Friday evening. Even if you're working, traveling, moving about, thank you so much for joining us. John Hanson here until 1 o'clock in the morning. Mike Heidemann in the producer's booth. And Mr. Roger Badish will be keeping us track of all the real news headlines. Not that the ones I'm about to do aren't real, but they are the wrap-up of the week on all the extremities. So, Roger, I just thought I'd kind of round things up by giving us the best, the worst, the craziest, and the dumbest stories of the week. Roger, choose your own adventure. Where do we want to go? Which one do you want to do first? Best, worst, dumbest, or craziest?
I want to go craziest.
Craziest.
Hoping that it's not also the dumbest.
Nope, it is not. Good. This is actually a crazy story. All right, here comes the craziest story of the week. This comes to you from Woodside, Queens, okay?
All right.
Two EMTs were taken to the hospital in critical condition. Two EMTs. To the hospital after both suffered a medical condition while responding to a crash on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway.
Wow.
The Department of New York Ambulance was involved in a minor crash with a private car just after 1 p.m. Thursday. So, a 63-year-old EMT was in that ambulance, and when after the crash, he suffered a stroke, which caused him to veer off the road. And then an EMS lieutenant, 47-year-old Raymond Wang, was in a second ambulance doing a ride-along. They stopped to help after the crash. Then he became unconscious and suffered an aortic aneurysm.
Oh, no.
Which is almost death for most people.
Yeah.
But, of course, you got ambulances nearby, EMTs. So both men taken into the hospital in critical condition. Latest update, we believe, is that they're going to be okay.
Wow.
But what a bizarre coincidence.
What are the odds? Seriously.
Both men. I mean, life-threatening things for two fairly young men. 47, that's too young for an for an aortic aneurysm. And also 63 years old. I mean, that's pretty young for
still
a stroke.
Yeah. Younger than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're going to figure out what was going on. But they said the situation's still unfolding. But everything is being done to protect the lives of those two men. What are the
goodness.
Odds? Yeah.
That is very strange.
No.
Crazy.
No.
Oh, there's another strange.
No, I'm saying I'm saying it's crazy. It's not
it's
strange.
It's crazy.
It's the craziest story of the week.
Wait a minute. Let me date myself here. Age myself. Cray? Never mind.
I don't know which direction you went there, Roger, with your age.
I'm so glad that Roger's feeling better, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. Okay. By the way, 312-981-7200 if you've got something crazier. Okay, so let's go next. Where do you want to go? Best, worst, or dumbest, Roger?
I want to go best. I want some good news.
I just think it's the best story.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. Blair Davis, he went viral, right? His name is Blair Davis.
Okay.
He's a bald guy with a big beard. After Pat Sajak interviewed him on Wheel of Fortune. Michael, we got the clip. You know, the introduction where they all meet each other and they introduce each other?
Sure.
Let's hear what he had to say. This is Blair Davis.
Hello. Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Own the trucking business, it says
here. Small trucking business in San Diego.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan. And I have one rotten grandson.
Yay! Why did you came here? You just wanted to get away from everybody. I know you're being facetious.
Absolutely. I love them like No, like nobody's business.
I'll bet you do.
Oh,
what's the story of the beard and your grandson?
Oh.
I started growing the beard a couple of years back, and every time I threaten to shave it off, he gives me a really hard time.
Yeah, so it's going to stay.
Oh, we don't need to hear the whole thing. But how about that?
That's
that
your hilarious.
He said that he was just trying to have some fun, but his wife and I have been watching the show. It's part of our nightly routine, and we noticed a pattern of defeat. Every time the winner moved on to the final round, you know, beginning to have that intro, I'm married to my wife, but let's be realistic about what things are like.
That's funny.
The best story of the week.
That was a long beard, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, where are we going? Worst or dumbest, Roger? Where are we going next?
I'm
going
to save dumbest for last. Let's go worst.
Okay, let's go with the worst. Oh, my God. Yeah, this one comes out of New Jersey, where all the worst things come from. Police say a New Jersey church bingo night went awry after an allegation that two players had taped a called number onto their card to claim a bingo win. This is at church, okay? 71-year-old, investigators say, they really got cracking on this.
Yeah.
71-year-old Teresa Davis and 38-year-old Keisha Brockington. Boy, 71-year-old and a 38-year-old working together. There you go. Said they had a winning card carrying a prize of nearly $200, but a church volunteer noticed that one of the winning numbers had been taped over the number. So they cut out little numbers, you know, with
right.
all of them. So they had, you know, 6B, 10,
yeah.
0, 38.
But it wasn't a regular card. It was separate cutout numbers.
Yes, and then they taped it on there so that you wouldn't see it. Like they covered
right.
up the number. Can you believe that?
Who would do that in a church?
I don't know. 71-year-old Teresa Davis and 38-year-old Keisha Brockington.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Tell you what, we'll do the dumbest story after the real stories and this quick commercial break on 720 WGN. Hey, friends. Happy Friday night, 11:35. John Hansen here until 1 o'clock. Hope you're having a great week. Let's wrap it up on a high note. We'd love for you to join the conversation, 312-981-7200. I had a couple texts on in. Of course, I lost that screen. We'll do the text in just a little bit. And by the way, we have to finish our game for the
yes.
dumbest story of the week, Roger. And,
that,
you know, every
I
want
to save it for the last.
You know, every week there's a plethora of options, a myriad
yes.
of things. And most of them were covered by Nick DiGilio probably this morning for Dumb Criminal. So there's a good chance mm-hmm. that this was on there. I didn't get a chance to listen this morning to find out if this was one of the You Big Dummies. Either way, here she is. the dumbest story of the week. Oh, good music choice there, Michael. What is this from? What did you search?
This?
Yeah.
I
this old number.
Do you really want to know what I searched?
Yeah.
Old-timey music.
Okay. There we go.
It's like the background music for like an old cartoon. Yeah.
It's In the Good Old Sun by Anthony Oliver. You didn't care.
That's nice.
Anyone that wants to be a radio producer, this is half the job. Just Googling what I yell across the way and figuring out search terms for it. Okay, this one comes out of California, where most dumb stories do. That's Florida. Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, a Cameron Park woman was arrested after she made an unusual request. According to Lincoln Police, the woman waved down one of their officers. This was last night at Lincoln Boulevard. This is in Cameron Park, California. She told officers that she ran out of gas and needed a ride to her car. The officer gave the woman, Lynette Stewart, a ride as well as a gas can. Can we guess where this story goes wrong? Anyone? Roger, what's your guess? Kind of like a little finish the headline here for the dumbest thing.
Well, we've got a gas can,
mm-hmm.
And someone lights a cigarette.
Nope, that's not it.
Oh.
Great guess, though. Mr. Heidemann, what happened here?
I'm going to say the cop could have been a scorned lover.
Oh, no.
Oh, that was a good one.
And that would have been the juiciest story of the week. Now, this is the dumbest story of the week. So the woman who flagged down a police officer to help her fill her car with gas failed to mention that her car was...
stolen.
Yes.
Thank you.
She stole the car. Then flagged down a police officer. And they didn't know until they ran the plates.
Right.
Which had been reported stolen the day before. So, she was arrested for vehicle theft and possession of, any guesses?
A stolen vehicle.
No.
Oh.
Yes, Roger, I gave...
Well, that's what you said. And?
Yes.
Drunk and disorderly.
No, she was in possession of...
a scorned lover.
Yeah.
Oh, marijuana.
No, no, that doesn't make you do that.
I'm going to say, oh, that's going to be some meth.
Yes. Yeah. That's meth. Don't do meth, people.
I'm also looking at the photo of her, and that's going to be some meth.
I know.
It's not very pretty.
Nothing to joke about, obviously. We want all of our people that are doing that to stop.
Yeah, please.
I mean, it's a hard thing. Don't get me wrong. But don't start if you can. I'm not speaking from experience. Trust me. So that was our dumbest story of the week. But it was a week full of them. But the text was telling me that going back to the Eddie Johnson thing that we let off the show with the superintendent. And I kind of said, well, you know, if a cop is going to knock on your window and you're passed out on the street, even if you're pulled over, they're likely going to at least inquire if you have been drinking, probably. We don't know if that's what happened when the police officers came to Mr. Johnson's side. But then someone said that they've gone to sleep in parking lots all the time in their car, or often. It's an adult thing to do if you are tired or not feeling well. That makes sense. But he said many police officers kind of knock on the window and wake him up. I'm just never heard of, like, just kind of rolling over and going to bed.
Well, I've done that.
Really?
Well, I was coming back from, it was a long time ago. I was probably maybe 19, 20.
Okay, yeah.
I had gone down to Georgia to visit my sister, and I was driving back home and went through, at the time, the worst thunderstorm I'd ever been in.
Oh, I don't like that.
I mean, you
at
couldn't.
Night?
I couldn't. Yes.
Ugh.
Couldn't see the front of the car, couldn't see the lights. I was able to get to an exit and pulled off, and there was a closed gas station.
Okay.
And I was scared. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where I am. And so I pulled around to, like, the back of the station.
Nothing better to do when you're scared is to go to bed in your car.
Well, I mean, I was exhausted.
Yeah,
I had been up all night. I was driving back. We had actually ended up in Daytona Beach.
I mean, it's way safer than driving really, really tired, of course. They say that that's just as dangerous as driving drunk.
Right.
Which you don't want to do, obviously. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is like, just a parking garage when you're... I mean, I get that for, like, road trips. But on your way home from somewhere, you're getting
close. You've been out all night. I don't know. Yeah.
I have a friend who got a DUI while he was sleeping in a parking lot. He said he got into his car. He drove it was in a strip mall area.
Uh-huh.
And he'd come out of a bar. He regrets this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say his name, of course.
Right.
Started the car, drove through the parking lot, and was like, no.
Right.
Turned off his car, went to the back seat of the car, slept, got a DUI. Because he was in possession of the keys, and anytime you're sleeping in the vehicle, even if you're under the influence.
Even if the car's off?
If the car's off.
Parked?
Some people think that if you put the keys, if you put them on top of the tire, you're fine because the keys aren't in the car. I don't think that's true.
What?
Yeah. You can't do that. Which I'm like, oh, God, that's kind of a catch-22. I'm like, well, he did the right thing by saying, I'm not going to drive. He had already driven, you know, I don't know, a couple feet through the parking lot.
Right, right. And how do you know until you get in the car that, wow, this is not going to be good?
Well,
and then stop. Where is he going to go? Back in the bar?
I don't know. When you go trying into the wrong car first, that's probably your first clue.
Yeah,
but,
that probably is. Yeah,
yeah, I know. You got to call a cab. Got to call a friend. Got to have an out plan. Okay. And I think that's the whole thing, is that, like, going into an evening where you're going to have drinks, and maybe you don't know how many you're going to have. You're waiting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have an out plan. And nowadays, there is no excuse with Uber or Lyft. I know people out there. I think Bubala just took his first Uber or Lyft a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about that.
And
I just tell everyone, even if you don't like those options, you should always have those on your phone,
right.
The apps, just in case of that situation where you need it. And you don't want to be downloading that on, you know, when you're inebriated anyways.
Yeah.
So they say that there's no excuse for it. So you should be ready for that.
Hmm.
So there you go. The more you know. So the Eddie Johnson thing. Yeah. Thanks for the text. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But then here's what I want to tee up, actually, Roger and Michael. We had this discussion on the show, the morning show. Dumbest injury you've ever given yourself. This was like a popular meme this week. Like, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, or you're doing something just way off base and you get hurt. I think everyone has that dumb injury story. A lot of them are from your childhood, I understand, and I've got a bunch of those. But we've got some really funny ones.
Are you saying I'm only relegated to one?
Yeah, no, Roger, I know you've got a cavalcade of stories.
I have several chapters.
Yes. Yeah, that's why you got to keep trimming out of that book. 312-981, the dumbest thing that you've ever done that caused an injury. 312-981-7200, quick commercial break. We'll have that on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 1147 on this Friday night. The dumbest injury you've ever done. We've all got one. I'm not talking about you're playing baseball and the ball hits you. You know, that's fine. People have done that. No football injuries. Hope I'm not ruining the caller's injury. But we'll get to Gary in just 1 second. So to tee this up, here's a good one. Torn tendon in middle finger, putting a fitted sheet on the mattress. Three corners were on. He was pushing the fourth corner on. The elastic in the sheet snapped back, bending my finger all the way back. He was so embarrassed he had to tell his friends that it was from playing basketball.
Ouch.
Burned my chest while trying to iron a wrinkle out of my shirt while wearing it. I have definitely tried to iron a shirt with it on my body.
No, come on.
Yeah, I've done it. I like tried to pull it taut far off my body and do it really quickly before the show one day. Ooh, it got hot. I didn't burn me. I could see it happening. Oh, here's a good text from the 708. As a 50-year-old man, I tore my hamstring playing hacky sack at a Black Sabbath concert.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is good from the 630. Threw out my lower back reaching for a French fry on the dashboard of my car. I've been there, though. You're looking for that last fry.
Before it gets cold?
Before it gets cold. Exactly. There's a time on that. It's a Mickey D's fry when it fits fresh. I'd do almost anything for a Mickey D's fry.
Really?
I would let the car keep running, get my seatbelt off, climb in the back seat and get it if I had to. Go to Gary. Gary, you're in Arlington Heights. What's the dumbest thing you ever did?
Well, you're talking about it was sort of a baseball injury. My first year in college, the first week I got there, we decided to play a makeup baseball game, and they used a tree for second base.
Oh.
And the first hit I hit was a double, and instead of touching the base, I ran right into the tree and went down like a bowling pin.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, see,
I ended up in the first aid nurse's place station, and I was on crutches the rest of the week, first week in college.
Okay, see, that's a good baseball one. That's not just in the normal gameplay. You ran into a tree.
Yeah, we made the tree a second base. Never again will I do that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good idea, but actually we have a text from the 815 says that they ran into second base that was a tree when they were playing kickball. So apparently you used the tree as bases. You guys should stop playing in forests and bring it to some open fields. Gary, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 312-981-7200. The dumbest injury that you've ever had. Everybody's got one. 847, invisible football in the the Soldier Field South lot. Oh, that's where some stuff goes down.
Oh, is that kind of like air football, like air guitar? It's not there.
I don't know. Just playing without a real ball?
Yeah, just like pretending you're throwing a football and pretending you're catching it.
Well, this was after a Bears game, so I imagine. I don't know. I don't want to say that this person was imbibing, but maybe they were. He was the receiver, and I'm saying it's a he. I'm assuming this has to be a guy. Mm-hmm. Went long, jumped up to catch the invisible football, came down on a parking space stop, and twisted my ankle, probably like the thing in the front of a parking stop, so you just stop that concrete barrier. Mm-hmm. Found out later I had torn all ligaments and tendons from the bottom of the calf to the top of the toes. Oh, this is a good one.
Ouch.
Threw my back out lifting a pork roast at the grocery store. Yeah, that's not... Where do they store the pork roast? Is it like on the way bottom or the way top? I'm trying to, right? It's like Christmas pork roast in the...
He's feeding a whole town or something like that with that pork roast. Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Here's another one. 5 years old, days out of a cast for a broken arm. I was running around the house, slipped on a newspaper, fell, re-broke my arm, same spot. The sound effect makes this game.
I have one, John.
Yeah, what'd you do, Michael?
So this actually happened today, and if you see right here, I have a Band-Aid on my thumb.
Is your hand swollen?
No, this is a normal hand.
Gosh, you have a hand like a bear.
You should see the other guy.
Yeah. No, seriously, hold that hand up again.
It's like bulging.
It looks like you got stung by a barrel of bees.
Is it the reflection that's making you look bigger or something like
through
that?
The window.
Have you not seen a normal hand before? Well, anyway, I got the Band-Aid. That's the point. I don't know.
Wait, what'd you do?
My giant hands over here.
Wait, what'd you do?
So today I wanted to, before the show, I usually work out, you know, give myself a little boost of energy.
Stop bragging.
So I went downstairs to my gym, and I was thinking, okay, I'm going to do a speed workout here. It's a normal thing. I needed to do a little bit quicker because I was running a little bit behind. And I've lifted these weights 1,000 times, and today I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to do the old switching up the podcast while having the same hand holding the weight.
What?
Ending up smashing my thumb big time, bleeding and everything over this 45-pound weight that landed on my thumb. So that was really...
Self-oops. That was dumb.
And now it really hurts, yeah.
Hope it was a good podcast. Hopefully it was one of the ones on WGN Plus.
Oh, yeah, it was. Mincing Rascals, in fact. Thanks a lot,
John
Williams.
And Steve Bertrand. Ow!
Right in the middle of it, all of a sudden you hear, ow!
Yeah, exactly. This is a good, you know where this one's going. Walking backwards and drinking a beer while talking to someone at a beach bonfire.
Ouch!
Do I even need to finish it? Yeah. Took a drink trip, landed on a lit mini Weber grill.
Oof.
Second and third degree burns on the back of my calf. Grill mark scars for a year. So he didn't even fall on the bonfire. He fell in a secondary fire. Not even the main one.
Okay.
Well, yeah. He was walking backwards. Couldn't see where he was going.
Yeah, no, right. There's a lot of excuses for
I know.
312-981-7200, the worst injury.
You don't want to know mine.
Not yet. 1 second, okay. Roger. 847. Right. I got married once, if that counts. Yeah. Sure does. 15-year-old me. This is on, that's not the married one. This is a different one. 847. Don't believe I'm telling you this. 15 years old, horsing around on a park bench, trying to balance. It got me, broke my leg. Yeah, that's not good.
Wow.
Ouch. It's just so painful.
847, I went and cracked my skull from running up to my friend and doing an instant stop and falling backwards and landing on the top of my head. Yeah.
Instant stop.
I don't even know what that is.
That you're stopping on a dime and you crack your skull. I need more of that story if that person wants to call in. Please.
Squat, who always texts us wondering if we're doing the bonfire. I know, Squat. Oh. We needed to do a closing summer bonfire. We might have passed the prime. Mm. We'll get one in there a little bit later. That's for the real overnight.
Yeah.
That's for when I fill in for Bubala.
Yeah.
That's when all hell breaks loose on the
station.
That's
the only time they allow us to do it.
That's the only time that we do it.
It's like next weekend, if you were filling in for him, you could do like the ghost stories in the forest for Halloween.
Yeah, well, I'm not. Thank you. But that would be perfect, Roger. Man. I'm so mean to Roger. I love you, Roger. You know it, too.
I know you do.
People are
going
to text. They're going to be like, you're so mean to
Will
Roger.
You stop people, please. We love each other.
847, tennis elbow. Well, not from playing tennis, which I don't know what that means, but I've got a few bad guesses. 773, as a young girl, I was at the batting cages with my brother. I was wearing a 70s spoon ring. What's a spoon ring, Roger? Mm. You were around in the 70s.
Spoon ring?
You were mostly conscious during that decade.
Mostly. The only thing I can remember is like a very small spoon that you would wear because you were doing other things.
So anyway, she was wearing a spoon ring. The ball came in, hit my ring finger. Oh, squished the ring into my finger. Ended up in the ER with the doctor prying.
Praying and prying.
Can you imagine the doctor's praying? That's not good. You walk into the ER, they're like, oh, God, I got to get down on a knee and pray to baby Jesus about this one. I'd be like, oh, no. Anyways, prying the ring apart off my smashed finger. That does not sound good.
Mm-hmm.
6:30, one night I thought I'd be all romantic with the wife and carry her off to the bedroom. Picked her up and made my back made a ratchet sound. Mm. Dropped her on the floor, ended up in the ER with a thrown out back.
Wow.
331 says eating nachos in my underwear, nuke the cheese. Hold on. Just there it is. eating nachos in my underwear, nuked the cheese too long, lost my balance, sitting down at the chair, second degree burns on my thigh. That's the best one of them all. Quick break, then the news, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 12:06 in the morning. Happy Saturday morning, Chicago and beyond. Thanks so much for listening. John Hanson here until 1 o'clock in the morning, so just another hour. Matt Babalo's in, I believe. I don't think he has a sub today, but I think Matt takes us at 1 o'clock. 312-91-7200 to join the conversation. All right, we're done with the absurd stuff, at least for a half hour, because we've got one of my favorite segments. It's time to find out what's up with space.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for...
Mike Wall.
It's better and better every single week, Mr. Heidemann. Thank you so much. Hey, Mike Wall, how you doing tonight?
Beautiful. Good, I'm good. I mean, this is one of the highlights of, like, every couple of weeks to see what's been done with that intro.
So not actually coming on the radio, just hearing what the intro was for you.
No. I mean, I'd be happy to hang up right now, actually. But, no, I did not do it.
If you actually did it, that would be incredible. Okay, so yesterday, technically, it's still today where you are, big day for two women walking in space, the first time an all-female spacewalk. Pretty big deal.
Yeah. It's kind of surprising that it took this long.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're about 60 years into the space age, and this is the first time that there has ever been, like an all-female spacewalk. And it just sort of reminds us that the early days of NASA, it was like fighter pilots, test pilots. That's who the Apollo astronauts were, and, like, the Gemini guys before them, Mercury before them. NASA's been changing that. They've actually taken real steps to kind of, like, diversify the astronaut corps, like, not just in terms of, getting more women in, but also people from all sorts of different backgrounds, people who are scientists, and, yeah, it's not just the sort of buzz-cut military men anymore.
Yeah, and there's also a cool connection with one of the first spacewalks, too, that one of the astronauts yesterday, something with her suit had a similar number. Did you read about this?
It was in the
article you wrote. It was another article that one of your coworkers did.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the exact thing was. I actually didn't wake up to watch the spacewalk because it was like 4:30 in the morning my time, or at least that's when it started. I'm not sure what the exact.
Well, I'll read from space.com for you, where one of your coworkers wrote that the number 3008 spacesuit worn by one of the astronauts yesterday included the portable life system support, the same number backpack that astronaut Catherine Sullivan donned in 1984 when she became the first U.S. woman spacewalker. I don't know if it was on purpose or not, but that's cool. And, you know, the thing that I liked about the whole thing is that they acknowledged it. They made, an appropriate deal about it. But the two women were just like, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but, you know, ultimately, this is just another day for us.
Well, and that's sort of, yeah, that's the message also that they want to get out. I mean, it's a big day, but some of the analysis and some of the sort of talking that you hear people doing now are saying, you know, it would be nice if this wasn't a big deal. It would be nice if we could get to the point where this is commonplace and you see two women outside the space station doing their thing, and it's just like, oh, it's a spacewalk. It's not, oh, wow, women's spacewalking. But, yeah, I mean, that definitely will be nice when we get there, but, like, we aren't quite there yet. And what's really interesting, too, you know, there have only been 15 women who have ever done a spacewalk, and like, the very first spacewalk ever done by a woman was by a Soviet cosmonaut, and she remains the only Soviet or actually Russian cosmonaut female ever to have done a spacewalk. They did one in 1984 with a woman, and they still haven't done another one, which is kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, it is crazy. Also crazy to me, because we talk about so much the vastness of space. In fact, the inability for us to really even comprehend just how big space is. Obviously, the vast, vast, vast majority of it remains completely untouched by us. But you talk about space junk in an article you wrote a couple days ago on space.com. New guidelines to help fight orbital debris. Is space junk flying out there really a danger, an issue?
It's getting to the point where people are really starting to worry about it, because now it's not that big a deal. I mean, you do get the occasional kind of white knuckle moment when people on the space station, you know, they have to, like, maneuver the space station to avoid a piece of debris. But we're getting to the point now. I mean, it's a lot cheaper to build a satellite than it used to be. You know, you can like be in elementary school even, or like a junior high school, and build one of these things and get it on a rocket. And like launch costs are going way, way down. So we're just seeing more and more satellite launches, and that's only going to continue. And there are people who sort of worry that, I mean, but Dan, like, especially when you talk about these huge internet satellite constellations, I mean, SpaceX wants to put 12,000 internet satellites up, maybe up to 42,000. That was some more news that came this week, because they actually might want to do 30,000 more. And once you get these huge numbers of things up there whizzing around the Earth at the speed, I mean, faster than a bullet, then these things, it can get pretty dicey. And even if you just have one dead spacecraft slammed into another one, if they're both pretty big, they're going to generate thousands of shards of debris that are going to be little bullets themselves. And if they hit something, then they create more of these. And what the fear is that it'll create this cascade that could, like, actually render big portions of Earth orbit kind of unusable for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't sound good. What are they going to do to regulate it? How do they control this?
Well, that's the big question, and people are still grappling with it. I mean, there are people now coming out saying, you know, we really need to think about this now before this becomes this nightmare scenario that we want to prevent. We actually have to be proactive about this. So people are saying, you know, like, there should be guidelines that if you launch something to a certain orbit, you know, high enough up where it'll stay up for a while, you know, if it's not so low that it'll get dragged down by Earth's atmosphere, by the sort of friction with Earth's atmosphere in like 5 years or so, then you like need to have propulsion on there so that you can avoid a collision with another spacecraft. You have to be able to control that thing. There are other people that's sort of like the bare bones kind of like guideline. And then like there are other people who think, well, we have to be even more proactive than that. We need to start actually launching these missions to go up and haul down some of these biggest and most dangerous pieces of space junk, just so like we can minimize the sort of chances that they'll slam into anything. So there are people out there who are like designing, and some of them have even tested in Earth orbit, these ways to snag space junk and drag it down. There was one like a year ago that was a harpoon. Like they actually launched this test satellite up to orbit. It extended this target on its own little robotic arm and shot like a harpoon at it, you know, like Captain Ahab style, and actually hit it. It's just, yeah, so people are thinking about this stuff and trying to do it at some point, and so, yeah, like, we'll see.
I want to see the movie Space Garbage Men or whatever it is, and it's just these rogue people going up there, and we're up here in space, and we're getting the garbage out, and then, of course, there's some plot line that makes it more interesting than what I'm describing, but that seems awesome.
Yeah, and there's another side of it, too, and that's, like, there are people who are building, like technology that will go up and like refuel dead satellites or be able to upgrade dying satellites or old satellites, you know, put new antennas on them or bigger solar panels. There are people doing that. And so that's another aspect of this. It's like we could actually kind of like revitalize some of these old things so they don't become space junk. You know, we can inject some more fuel into them, give them like another 10 years of life and actually turn them into like a lot better and more capable satellites. So all this stuff is sort of happening at the same time. Is we're in like kind of like a new paradigm where it's like, well, we can't really be the sort of Wild West and just everything can launch and it doesn't matter. The space is big. Nothing's going to happen. Things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Especially when the space garbage men are on patrol. Okay, Mike, tell you what,
lots of stuff happening.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. I want to talk about objects falling back down to Earth, talking about all that junk up there, including some pretty big ones, with Mike Wall from space.com after this on 720 WGN.
Time to look back up at the sky, because we're back with What's Up with Space.
Why don't we get on the jazz thing again? Do you remember, Michael, why we did that, Michael Heidemann?
I think it was because Mike Wall said he was really into saxophone solos at one point.
Is that what it was, Mike?
Yeah. I'm just a really huge Kenny G fan. I think I've talked about that every time I come on.
All right, good. Well, we just checked that box there. And by the way, next time you come on, we're going to have the whole trailer ready for Space Garbage Men, okay?
Oh yeah, no, I would expect nothing less. That is some really fertile ground that I don't think anybody has plowed yet. So
yeah,
should go for it.
Yeah, and like you could be like, they get the space refuse and they refuse to quit, right?
Yeah. Or and then they could, like, they could get zapped by, or they could get hit by some space radiation, you know, like a supernova, a gamma ray burst, and they could mutate, and then they could turn these like satellites into weapons. And yeah, there are all sorts of ways that they could.
Sounds like you've thought a lot about space garbage, man. I'm just going to say. And Heidemann, the plot. That's the voiceover, man. You need to get ready for that, okay?
I'm ready.
Okay, very, very good.
I can't wait to see that flick.
Oh, it's going to be good. I can't wait for Blake Stubbs to give it one star or whatever he's going to do. All right, so, yeah, Roper's going to hate it. All right, so let's talk. So we were talking about the space junk. And obviously, a lot of this stuff, or some of it at least, comes down to Earth or it burns up on orbit. But what, we had a big old spacecraft coming down or going to be coming down soon, right?
Well, there was some stuff that just happened, actually, in Chile earlier this month. Or, like, I guess it was late last month. There were seven fireballs in the sky, and nobody really knows what caused those. But, mm-hmm. there's stuff coming down all the time. I mean, some of it is actually meteors, and some of it is, pieces of space junk.
How big does it have to be? Like, there's got to be a part where, like, the smaller things just burn up completely, right? They never make it all the way down. But some of the big stuff, do they, like, give you a warning? Do they know, like, do they have a good grasp on what would actually make it through the atmosphere, or is it kind of anyone's guess?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, it depends what it's made of. I mean, like, certain types of metal, I mean, are a lot hardier than others. And with asteroids and stuff like that, if it's a certain size, then parts of it might get down to Earth. But it's just really hard to tell. And, like, for instance, that giant meteor explosion in 2013 over Russia that shattered all those windows, Chelyabinsk, that big airburst, that object that hit the atmosphere, it was about 65 feet wide, probably, and it exploded over, like, high up in the atmosphere, about 12 miles up. But little shards of it rained down and broke through, like, that, like the ice on a lake and stuff like that. So, I mean, pieces might survive, but a big rock like that will, I mean, not all of it will survive when it comes down to Earth. It's just kind of hard to tell.
I'm putting you completely on the spot. I can't believe I didn't ask you this last week when you came on. But we, the hour before you came on last week, we kind of analyzed who was responsible for the Great Chicago Fire. And there's a lot of theories. This is back in 1871. I gave you no advance warning for this question, so feel free to pass.
This is the Delirious Cow stuff? Is that
yes.
Delirious Cow?
Right. So yes. that's the theory. But we had a few different culprits, and we didn't end up going with this one. But some people believe, because it was a very dry couple of weeks in the Chicagoland area and over the entire Great Lakes region, and actually on the same night of the Chicago fire was the worst wildfire ever in our country's history in Wisconsin, the exact same night. There were also wildfires in southern parts of Illinois and southwestern parts of Michigan, to the point that people have wondered, because there was a comet that was passing through, I guess, that broke up or something, if that could have caused wildfires. But I guess some scientists have said that when any little pieces of rock do make their way down, they actually land cold. I don't know. Do you have any knowledge on that? We can just give it a hard pass if you'd like.
I mean, I don't know enough to speak authoritatively or even fake it. I mean, if they actually might. Yeah, I mean, like, they certainly get super, super hot when they're coming into Earth's atmosphere. You know, they get this crust over them because the outside of them gets so hot that it basically melts. But they're going so fast, and there's so much airflow, I bet they, like, lose that heat pretty fast. So actually, maybe they do land cold. I mean, I don't know. That's really interesting that there were so many fires at the same time in the same general region.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there were just a lot of lightning storms or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and but that's the thing. There was no storms that night either. So there's just a lot of hypotheses that go around in terms of, you know, back in the day, everything was built of wood. There was hay everywhere, barn. So, like, if the fires, accelerants were like rampant where we lived, so fires started fairly often. And once they started, they spread quickly. It was a very windy night with heavy, swift winds coming out of the south. So it could have just been that anything that did start that night was going to accelerate more than normal. Chicago had seen a lot of fires in the days and weeks leading up to the Great Chicago Fire. So, anyways, I just should have asked you that. Next time, I'll send you an article in advance and have you do some research. But things that you also wrote about, Japan is going to be sending, they aim to send their first rover to touchdown on the moon. We've had some firsts for the moon here in the last couple of weeks and months and years.
Yeah, and they're only going to keep rolling in. This particular mission that this little rover's flying, and it's going to be really interesting. It's 2021. It's this Pittsburgh-based company, Astrobotic. It's going to be their first moon mission with their commercial private lunar lander, which they are developing, to make money. I mean, they're like flying payloads down to the moon for NASA and other customers. And some of the other customers that they've got lined up, in addition to our space agency, there are a couple of companies. One of them, like you just mentioned, is this Japanese company, and they're putting like a rover on that lander that's going to land on the moon in 2021. And also there's a United Kingdom based company that's putting a little walking rover. It's this little four legged thing that looks, I mean, it's cool, but it looks kind of creepy, like a little walking kind of bug from a sci-fi movie. And it's going on that same flight, and it'll be the first like UK craft to ever land on the moon softly. So this 2021 mission, it could be the first commercial lander ever to land on the moon, and carrying the first UK spacecraft and the first Japanese spacecraft to soft land on the moon.
Are these efforts by like countries that have never kind of gotten in the game to get their foot in the door, or is it a stepping stone to bigger things that they want to do? Just joining the club. What's the motivation behind spending all this money in some of these areas on places that we've already, as a world, as a civilization, have gone to?
Well, this is a new kind of, it's a new realm that's being opened up now. I mean, if this thing's going anyway, it's got space for a lot of small payloads. So that's the idea. I mean, not all space exploration is government funded, is big space agencies anymore. So if they're a private spacecraft going to the moon and they have slots on their lander and they're not terribly expensive, which they aren't, then that opens up a lot of opportunities for, say, private companies and like university groups and all like sorts of other organizations to say, well, can we fly our payload on the moon? And they're like, yeah, sure, we have room for like 30 of these things. So that's sort of this new paradigm that we're in with spaceflight that's just now starting to happen, is that you don't have to work for NASA, you don't have to work for the space agencies in Europe or in Russia or in Japan or in China to kind of get something like this, to build something and have it land on the moon. You can just actually pay for a ride on a private lander. That's what everybody is excited about and wants to kind of just start happening on a routine basis now.
That's awesome. All right, Mike Wall, we are out of time today. Thanks so much again for joining us for What's Up with Space. You can read all of Mike's stuff at space.com. And soon appearing in the movie, you're going to have a cameo in Space Trash Collector Men. No, I got to come up with a better name.
Starring Tony Danza.
Tony Danza and Mike Wall in garbage space. Space garbage. I don't know.
We'll workshop
sounds
it.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, we're going to workshop that out. Mike, have a good weekend, okay?
Thanks, you too.
Yeah, have a quick little break here and then the news on 720 WGN. Hey! Oh! Oh, yeah! Here we go now! WGN John Hansen, here we go. Funky time at 12:35. Woo! All right, everyone. Hey, hope your weekend's off to a great start here. John Hansen here just for the next 25 minutes, taking you right up to Mapu Bala, who will not do funky time with you. Trust me. And I hit that end not quite as hard as I wanted to. Funky time. I just want to reiterate, that's what I said. Michael Heidemann on the other side of the glass, Mr. Roger Banish in the newsroom. I've spent the last 7 minutes, Roger, not listening to your report, which I should have, for informative things, but trying to come up with a name for my garbage, space garbage man movie. And I can't think of anything.
How about like the old Muppets, Pigs in Space? Junk in Space.
I was trying to think of like Universe Rubbish or... Oh, that was the best one.
How about Star Scow?
What does scow mean?
Scow is like a garbage truck.
Really?
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
If I'm not mistaken, I've heard the term in the past.
Hold on.
Look it up. There's your assignment.
Scow, according to the Urban Dictionary,
I don't know about urban.
Mid-90s slang to express question along with surprise.
No.
So to your space scow, I say, scow?
Scow? No, it's Urban Dictionary.
How do you spell scow?
I think it's S-K. Here we go. A flat-bottom boat with sloping...
Roger's reading off his hand now.
I am. Yeah. I got it written there.
Yeah.
Flat-bottom boat with sloping ends used as a lighter and in dredging and other harbor services. So it's a boat that you throw crap onto, basically.
Sounds right, then. How about
it
that?
It is.
Boy, that leads us perfectly into the next segment. Today I learned... This is the part of the show where 37 minutes into our day, we talk about all the things that we've learned and put a nice little bow on the show. Or we say, hey now to our scow, whatever it might be. How do you spell that again?
S-K-O-W.
I've never heard of that. Okay. Well, you learn something new every day.
And you go in boats a lot.
I do.
I thought you might.
I don't go on scows.
No.
Some garbage boat floating into the river. Thanks, Raj.
Anytime.
If you do call it, what is it? Scowland?
Scow.
Scow.
It could be like Officer Scow.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
for years he's just picked on. All right, never mind.
All right.
Today I learned, this is fascinating to me. No deck of cards. This is going on a little limb, but the numbers support this theory.
All right.
That no deck of cards has ever been in the same order twice. Meaning, once you shuffle a deck of cards, obviously they all come in the same order when you get them. But once you shuffle them, there's never in the history of the world, numbers show, that the same order of all 52 cards has been lined up.
That's what are the odds? So 52 cards.
Yeah, so but just think of the factorial. Because to get those odds, you have to go... You know, to get two cards in a row, it's 50. You know, it's one out of 52 twice. So I mean, it's we're talking
one out of 104.
No, yeah, no, it'd be one out of so it's 52 times 51. How many options there are just for the first two cards?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Just the first two cards alone, you're already at so many different options. The three cards, so it's 52 factorial.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you pass math in school?
Yes, barely. I got a 36 on the ACT in math.
Whoa!
I had just taken algebra, which was, I was like, oh, this is all fresh information. Whoa. My friends who are, like, well-advanced in math, they're like, I couldn't remember geometry. I took it in fifth grade. I'm like, I just learned what a radius was. Fresh on the brain.
Wow, fantastic. So go ahead and do the math then.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. No. Scow you, Richard. But the... Obviously, it's not provable because at some point, in theory, they could. But it is insane how hard it would be to come up with it. Because let's say you pick the Ace of Clubs first.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a 1 in 52 chance.
Okay.
Right? And then the next card is a 9 of Diamonds. That was in a 1 in 51 chance. And then the next one is a 7 of Hearts. That's a 1 in 50 chance. You know, so then it like just keeps on getting insane. Someone I was reading about when they were talking about this was saying that I'm going to find exactly the quote was, if your chances of winning the lottery are roughly 1 in 10 million, they'd say, then you are 10 to the 60th power times more likely to win the lottery than shuffle a deck of cards the same way twice.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's insane. So there's so many possibilities. There's more possibilities for a deck of cards than there are grains of sand on the planet.
Whoa.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Mind blown.
Right. Did you just give us an oops?
Now that even makes the card counting people and the people who really are into gambling, they got to have some serious brain power.
That's a little different because that you're just counting face cards. You're just trying to count and you know how many generally there are in a deck.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to find factorials of, you know, like you shuffle it. It's just amazing to me. You think that at some point in Earth, and maybe it's happened, that two of them have come together. But the odds are not that good.
Every single deck that is, there's probably a million decks that are shuffled today in Vegas. Not once has there been a single copy.
Not only
deck.
That, if you opened every deck in Vegas right now, you took them all up, you lined them all up, not only would none of them be in the same order, but if you took all the decks that have ever existed in Las Vegas, ever shuffled and laid them out, there's a very, 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 very slim chance that any of them have ever been in the same order. And then not only Las Vegas, add Reno to it. Go to the Potawatomi in Milwaukee. Go to New Buffalo in all the history of time.
Now you're just talking crazy. That's why, that is wild.
You're scowling at me right now.
No, I was just thinking, when you were talking about that, I was just randomly
imagine
thinking
if
about
we were stoned right now, how crazy this would sound.
So many
well,
cards,
I mean,
man.
Except for Roger, yeah, on his medication.
I'm always like
Roger's
that.
Mind is just whoa.
Yeah, I'm just, dude.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, we had a text from Roger saying, never have Roger say cray cray again. So there you go. Anyways, that's one thing I learned today. Michael, have you learned anything today?
I have. Yeah. I have. Well, I learned that John got a 36 in his math on his ACT, which is very impressive. Yeah.
Got a 34 overall, so just saying.
What the?
Wow. Come on.
Don't finish that.
I was in a room with a genius.
I'm just a good test taker. And I took the class that helps you, that teaches you how to take the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I did pretty well.
I took that.
I just barely woke up in time and got there and filled in a bunch of, you know, circles.
Yeah.
I was the last one in, first one out.
Sounds like a terrible strategy. I hope you got a bad score. You deserved it.
I did.
You put no effort into it.
I put absolutely none. Thank you very much.
Well, good. I hope you did poorly.
I did. I think I got a 17.
Really? Yeah. I doubled your score?
Wait a minute, because now you know that they revised those scoring numbers.
That's what every older person says. You're still young, but older than me, I should say.
Yes.
Because I say that about the kids, too. Like, oh, I changed the score.
Yeah, those kids nowadays.
Yeah. Giving out 36 is like they're paid to die.
Yeah.
All right, what did you learn? Wait, did we already... No, you didn't do what you learned yet.
No. Today I learned that the popsicle was invented by an 11-year-old boy named Frank Epperson.
Hey.
When he accidentally left sugary soda outdoor on a frigid night in 1905. Now, his kids later made him rename the Epsicle. Again, his name is Frank Epperson.
Oh.
Epperson's Icicle to Pops-sicle. So, Popsicle is Pops-sicle.
Like Pops? Like Dad's?
Like Dad. Dad.
Not like Pop. Like Soda-sicle. No.
No, not like Soda-sicle.
Soda-sicle?
Sickle.
Wow. That's a good word.
Soda-sicle could be a character in our movie. I think so. It's just like Officer Soda-sicle.
Along with all those cows.
Someone came in with a movie title, by the way. Detritus of the Cosmos? Is that another word for garbage?
Detritus.
Oh, yeah. I think it is.
It's detritus?
It's stuff that has been tossed out.
Oh.
Yeah, things that have been tossed out.
Kicked to the curb.
You know what?
In the cosmos. Ooh. Yeah.
Another word for garbage, claptrap.
There you go.
That's baloney.
That's malarkey and baloney.
I stop going down that path.
You're rubbish.
You're going to end up rubbish. In some... Yeah, there we go. Bring it back. That's interesting about popsicles.
Yeah.
Roger, you learn anything today?
Yeah, I did. I love this movie called Kingsman. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
Oh, you've not. Well, so they're working on a third one. And it's kind of like a secret service in England.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there are chapters around the world. So I remember watching the very first one, and I loved it. And it's called Kingsman Secret Service. And in it, one of the guys that's being recruited for this orders a drink. This is how he orders it. Gin martini stirred for 10 seconds while staring at an unopened bottle of vermouth.
Wait, what, you got to stare at it?
Yeah, at the unopened bottle of vermouth while you're mixing the drink. So now you would think that's made up for the movies.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of like, you know, James Bond's Shaken but Not Stirred. Right, right. So apparently I found out, because I've seen the movie a dozen times and I didn't pay attention, it's a real drink. The drink is called the Churchill Martini. Very interesting. I thought it was just.
And you're
made
supposed
up for the
to
movie.
Stare at the vermouth,
the
longingly?
Unopened bottle of vermouth, while you stir the gin martini for 10 seconds.
Why?
I didn't make up the drink. I didn't do the instructions.
Why?
I'm just,
Drinks are what you put in it.
Yeah. Huh? It's not what you think about.
Yeah.
You're drinking it.
But it's a it's a gin martini, so it's like a basic martini.
I make a whiskey drink, so it's equal parts Jack or any of the whiskey you want.
Mm-hmm.
A lime, little lime juice, a little ginger. Put a couple raspberries in it, and as I stir it, I think of long lost love and heartache and all the people I've wronged in my life. Mm-hmm. And ooh, that just gives it an extra little kick. That just makes you want to chug it.
And what and do you make call that drink?
I call that Hambone's Depressing Delight. But you've really got to, and if you don't stir it right? No, what happens is when you think about those things, you start to sob openly. It gives a nice salt on the rim. Your tears go into the drink. Yeah.
I could see that the raspberries and the salt from your tears.
Mm.
I like that.
Mm, some good old longing. You know what this drink needs? A little longing.
A little longing.
It needs some old desire.
You know, for me, every time I make my whiskey drink, for each ice cube, I make a wish. Put it in there
before you and, break the ice cube in half,
and the wishes melt just like
they
just
do
like
my
the
life.
Ice. Yes. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. We're gonna find out what we learned here on 720 WGN. Hey, that was my good friend Jisuke talking there on the Steve Cochran Show promo. Okay, so we're in the closing moments, the death rattle of John Hansen here on 720 WGN. Up until 1 o'clock, Mapu Bala will be taking over. So today we're talking about things that we learned. And, boy, I got a really fascinating one for you, too. I'm talking to Mike and Roger, not our two listeners. There's more of you, I know. 312-981-7200. So there was a guy at MIT. His name was Justin Cave. He graduated in 1998, okay? That's 21 years ago. In 1994, so his freshman year, he was trying to make mac and cheese. So he purchased this thing of milk to make it in the dorm room. And, you know, life intervened, rush week intervened. And so the milk sat neglected. Now, 10 months past its expiration date, they rediscovered the milk and decided they should throw it a birthday. So it was obviously moldy and gross and smelly, but they decided to throw it a birthday. And then they were stuck with it. So they decided to keep the milk. And the milk is still there at MIT. But what they've done is they've had to actually put it in a glass case because it is eaten out of the milk carton. It was in a cardboard thing. It wins awards. They vote it like the worst thing in the dorm room, and there's different things of that every year, and it's still there. So it celebrated its 21st birthday back in 2015, and I was trying to look up for a more recent article, but I haven't seen one, but I assume that it's passed on from generation to generation in the dorm, that the old milk is still there. They say that it's probably not toxic. It might have been at some point, but it's not very nutrient dense anymore. It's eaten itself out of the carton, but you definitely, definitely, definitely would not want to consume it. It's gross now. It's kind of brown and greenish in some spots. Not the whole carton's gone. You can still see the top of it with the expiration date, but the milk is there.
That's incredible. Is the verdict still out? Like, is milk good for you? Because there's a lot of people who say it's good, it's bad.
What?
And why does it go bad so quickly?
Like science, Mike. And of course it's good for you.
No, they say that you're eating dairy, and listeners can tell me if I'm wrong, but when you're out of your youth, your body doesn't process it the same way.
Well, it depends. Lactose intolerance is what it's called.
Yeah, it's not good if you haven't had it in 10 years and you're developed that you eat lactose intolerance like Roger's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you drank that milk that's...
They say nothing good. Okay. Don't put it on your Cheerios.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mike, who says that? When you say they say.
They do
say. What podcast that you listen to while weightlifting told you?
Before dropping something on your fingers.
Vegan. Yeah.
I think that
craziness.
I've read a few articles on space.com about it, and I'm pretty sure that they mentioned it.
Written
that.
By a Martian.
I'm pretty sure milk is good. It's sort of like the sustenance of life.
Let me dive into it.
Yeah, actually, lactose intolerance is that your body loses the ability to break down milk sugars. That's the only thing. The rest, you can have lactose-free milk, and it's just regular milk.
But you just keep on having the milk.
Well, yeah, you can keep drinking
it's
the milk
from
as
when
long
people
as
stop
not the
doing
milk
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So from the New York Times, just to add this in, I think this is where I read it.
Oh, you're dropping a New York Times on me. Okay.
Heavy.
Was it from the comment section?
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
More and more evidence is surfacing, however, that milk consumption may not only be unhelpful, it might be detrimental. More than 10,000 years ago, when human beings began to domesticate animals, no adults older than children consumed milk. Many people don't drink it today because, again, they're lactose intolerant. So that's what I'm saying.
Cool. That's what you learned today?
I'm not knocking milk. I didn't know that there was a big milk.
I'm very pro-milk here, okay?
Very. I know we're from...
You keep talking, Orion's going to come in early and strangle you.
Really? He's going to come back from Arizona and just take you out.
You know how many dairy pageants he's been to?
Yes.
That man, he has no blood in his body. He is running on milk. And you're over here telling us? That's Orion Samuelson you're insulting, vitamin.
I would never, ever
watch it.
Insult Orion Samuelson.
You know how many Dairy Queens he's crowned champion? I'm not making fun of him.
I talked to him at 5 o'clock when I introduced the show.
Him.
I'm going to let him know what you said.
Yeah. And you give him Heidemann's address. And you say, you come in from Huntley, and you go up that elevator, you knock on that door.
No, my name is Mike Stevens, and I'm the host of Outside the Loop.
Yes. Mike Stevens. Did you learn anything else, Michael or Roger?
Yeah, I did. Oh, saying that you're so good in math, and I'm not. I can count money very well. I can do budgets,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not real good with formulas and that kind of stuff, and so... Not only do I have lactose intolerance, I have dyscalculia.
Oh, really?
Yes.
An inability to do arithmetic?
Yes.
Wow.
I have trouble understanding numbers, learning how to manipulate the numbers.
Do you take an ointment for that? Like, what do you? Where do you rub that?
I have treatments.
Yeah.
In a spa in Sweden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, Roger. I didn't know
that.
Yeah.
Dyscalculia.
Dyscalculia.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting stuff.
4 + 4 = 9.
Yeah.
See? I told you. I just... Very difficult for me.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Dyscalculia.
I got one more, Michael, if you don't have another one.
I think yours... I have one chamber here.
So
but.
You know that I told the Chuck E. Cheese story once a couple weeks ago, like that there's a whole story behind the rat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what I didn't know. So everyone knows what Chuck E. Cheese is, right? Well, there used to be a competitor called Showbiz Pizza. I remember growing up in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Some kids went to Chuck E. Cheese. Some people went to Showbiz Pizza. Mm-hmm. Well, did you know? I didn't. I just learned this. Showbiz Pizza was a company. They bought out Chuck E. Cheese.
What?
And then they just changed their name to Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, wow.
Clever.
Very.
Little clever thing that they did that.
That's unusual how
that's a great
they
move.
Could buy out a company that was more successful than them.
Yeah, well, they had the money.
Wow.
It was deep in Chuck E. Cheese's pockets, lined with lactose intolerant cheese or whatever he needed. He was able to do it.
Incredible.
Heidemann, what you got?
Okay, so this is kind of an older story. I don't know if it's going to be able to top the Chuck E. Cheese. Like, I remember Showbiz Pizza. We mm-hmm. had that in the Funatorium. I remember
Funatorium? What the heck is that?
Well, it was
sounds horrible.
It was McHenry's version of the Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
I should say that. Mm-hmm. This is an old story, and I think everyone kind of knows it, but I always find it interesting that every time I roll through it. In 2007, this didn't happen too long ago, a woman died from drinking too much water. She drank 6 liters of water in 3 hours.
Oh, God.
6 liters in 3 hours.
Thanks for ending us on such a high note here, Michael.
Well, it was a radio station contest.
I remember that
this
one.
Is horrible.
And
it was the Wee for a Wee contest.
The Wee for a Wee, and that's what I was getting to. The headline wrote itself, and she died of water intoxication, which is a thing.
Yes, of course it is. Did you know that? Drowned from the inside. Yes, yeah.
I had never heard of that until that story, and they had audio. Somebody called in during the contest and said, "You know, guys." Somebody could die, because that listener's doing it against each other.
Gosh.
Somebody could die from this, and they're all like, oh, get out of here. Nobody believed them.
Well, good thing you told. That was what we were going to do next week. Well, thank God someone said something. We've got to scrap the whole show.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, that was good. I'm glad we learned some things today. Mr. Bubala, how are you
doing?
Hey,
John Hanson, good, buddy.